Hey.
Yeah, baby.
That was not
welcome
private...
back.
That's not in the private comments section.
What?
Whoever asked that question.
Oh, that was me.
that's for everybody to see.
I don't know what's
going
on.
Oh, really? Oh, I don't know. I just said
okay. I'm in charge.
Okay.
Cool. In any case, yeah, we're back with another live episode of Not a Strong Start Live
now,
off topic.
I am the captain.
You're doing great, guys. Off to a strong start.
You're off the rails. You're off the rails. Everyone's off the rails. Marie, you're doing good. Keep it up.
There's rails.
Has said anything yet?
Keep it together for you guys.
Phenomenal, guys. Great. George, you want to intro us?
Yeah. As always, I'm George.
If you want to proceed with the show.
And to my left, we have
Daniel.
Are you on my left or are we on my right? On my computer, you're on my left.
I'm on left.
He's on your right to me.
Yes.
I don't know where I am.
You're in our hearts.
Aw, yes. Forever in our hearts.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I'm Daniel. Hi.
So where are we going? I'll go. I'm Marie. Hi, Anna. Also.
And I'm Kevin.
Hi.
Kevin. Hi. Hi.
With our powers combined, we are Nas off topic.
Woo!
Heart. Yeah.
Okay.
So how has everyone been? I've been gone for a while, but it's nice to see friendly faces.
Mm-hmm. I've been good, man. I've been in the middle of moving, so now I'm finally done with the old house. Now I'm living in the new house, but I still have to decorate. It's one of the last things I always end up doing. Procrastinate.
Where's your movie your movie poster?
What does that mean? Oh, the piece of paper. At first, I thought Marie was mocking my movie posters. Like, no. Oh, they're movies. And I was like, what? You don't like Star Wars?
No, because Clockwork Orange is a film.
She knows. Marie knows. Thank you. Thank you for that, Marie. Thank you. Yes, it is a film. Yeah. It fell off. The tape fell off with the heat.
With the heat. Oh, my gosh.
It's still like 100. It's we're about to hit October, and where I'm at, it hit 100 degrees today.
Oh yeah, it was hot over here too.
Yeah,
that was insane. Still sweating. It was like 45 degrees yesterday morning here.
You're lucky.
14, like dream weather. Five. It's if I'm you guys jealous. Like that. You want that cool crispness?
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. Oh,
give me that crisp fall feeling.
Bring it down. Bring it down,
mm-hmm. Please.
Just throw pumpkin spice right in my face.
Hot or cold?
Yeah,
hot or cold. Kevin loves pumpkin spice.
Why
loves
not? It. You got a problem with that, Dan?
No, I'm just keep giving you a shout out. I'm gonna be George from pumpkin spice. If pumpkin spice is a brand. You should be the spokesman.
Aww. Do you like the lattes? I think I'm the only white girl who doesn't like pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's like lattes in general. I just like the taste of pumpkin.
Everything.
That's it. It doesn't matter. Latte. I don't know what latte. What does latte even mean? Milk.
Yeah. Milk. It's like half water, half milk, or some coffee's in there, but not much.
Yeah. The splash, splash tan. That's all it
Although
is.
Although I saw pumpkin Oreos once.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Did you try that?
Yeah. No, because I was embarrassed. As much as I wanted to try them, I was embarrassed to stand in the line to buy them. Why is pumpkin buying pumpkin so embarrassing?
It
you know what? You should make a short
I
film.
I don't know.
That
I love it.
I did.
No, wait. You already did. And you can find that on YouTube.
Pumpkin spice for men.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds great.
Yes.
Well, all right. With all that, let's push that aside for now. Mm-hmm. What has everyone been watching? What's on your keeping it real moment for this week?
I was watching Dahmer. I started watching Dahmer. I think it's just so weird that like Jeffrey Dahmer's just randomly famous again. Like, just through waves like every other decade. Just like, oh, hey, remember this guy who used to eat people? Let's make another show or movie about him and remind everybody about how awful he was.
Yeah,
I guess we could thank Ted Bundy and all those other serial killers for that.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
How's Evan Peters in it? Good.
I mean, as good as a serial killer like Jeffrey Dahmer can be. No, he was good. I mean, I didn't know Jeffrey Dahmer personally, but he seems very Dahmer-like.
Seems like a nice guy, right? No.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, but from a, would you say I should fear him?
What should you fear? A serial killer who eats men and drugs men? Yes.
But primarily dark men.
Then yes, yeah, you should. Yes, so I'm safe. Look at that.
There you go. I'm extra safe, so I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin looks like Dahmer.
Thank you. Oh, I look like just a straight a white male.
Yeah.
Like every serial killer. I was about to say straight white male, but like Jeffrey Dahmer was gay.
No.
Spoiler alert, I haven't watched the show yet.
Damn, you ruined the whole show.
Decades later, you didn't know Dahmer was gay?
I'm kidding. Evan Peters is great, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yes. That's Michael. And then, no dark meat.
No dark. Clearly, it was the tastiest. So.
Well, now we know Mr. Miracle's preferences then.
Yeah. Coming for you, Kevin. He's coming for you.
Being straight is gay. Yep. That's right.
Especially in 2022 now.
Nobody knows what anything is these days.
No. Okay. So it's the project. So what? Yes. I finally finished watching Cobra Kai.
Okay. Yeah. I did too.
Okay.
I'm not loving this last season, man. The show's really? Just like, and it should have ended about two seasons ago, in my opinion. I love Johnny in it. I still like Daniel LaRusso, but like the kids, it feels so Power Rangers to me, like so Saved by the Bell. The storylines, I'm just like, the dialogue, like, oh my God, Kreese.
The kids have cringe. Never been good in the show, really. Except
it's true. Yeah.
I never but really watched it for the kids.
This season feels more heightened. Like if you watch season one, you know, you see, what's the,
Miguel? I'm
trying to think what the, yeah, Miguel. The tone felt a little more serious. In this one, the dialogue is so cringe to me when I'm watching it. I like Silver as a villain, but the dialogue is so cringe in this season more than it's ever been. I feel like it's just way over the top for me.
I kind of feel like it actually matches Karate Kid 3 with how over the top it is, you know, like because that's when Silver
was a little cheesy though.
was cheesy, yeah. And that's cheesy. Like one of the
it wasn't a great Karate Kid. Yeah,
no,
I will say though, I am happy that finally this season there's like no beef between Johnny and Danny LaRusso, like finally no more stupid miscommunication storylines. But like honestly, this, like, I loved this season. I really liked it. I mean, of course you're never gonna beat the first couple of seasons. That's when Johnny was at his prime for the show. That's when he was funniest to me. This one for me was Chosen, dude. I love Chosen. Marie, do you watch
Cobra Kai? Chosen was great.
You don't watch Cobra Kai, do you?
I haven't seen it.
You should watch it.
Okay.
The first two seasons.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but not the third season, right? Unless I'm like really into Power Rangers and stuff. Okay.
Exactly. You don't. Yeah. Were you a Power Rangers girl? Five.
I was a Sailor Moon girl. I watched Sailor Moon a lot.
Okay, this is
all same anime, shit. Just Sailor. No mechs.
Robbie and Miguel undefeated together. Yeah, they were. I don't mind that, but like Robbie in particular. Oh my God! Like there was so many times where I was just watching the show and I was just like, oh, did they really just say that? Like, did they really just say that? Like, I can take a little bit of cheese, but it was just, it's gotten to a point where it's become a parody of itself. Mm-hmm. And it's just not believable, man. It's just so not believable. I'm not buying any of the world that they're presenting to me anymore. It just, no.
I will say though, like one of the things that I really didn't like about the series is that their season finales have been really good. They've been like so like epic that when the next season starts, they spend like two or three episodes wrapping up what happened in the previous season. So that it never really, it doesn't breathe until about like episodes like 3 or 4 in like every season. Yeah. But now the way that this season ended, I feel like they didn't make that mistake. And so I'm excited. I like it. You know what, Dan? F you. This season was great.
You know what, Kevin?
This is a great season. Defend you had the three Miguel original bad boys teaming up, bro. Come on. How cool was that? So? That was cool. That was cool.
Show me Miguel with his dad. Like,
that was so dumb. That was absolutely dumb. But like the last couple of seasons, every first couple episodes were awful because they're wrapping up shit that happened the previous season. See, Marie,
if that doesn't sell you on this show, I don't know what will.
If you want to get angry but also happy, watch Cobra Kai.
Watch Cobra Kai.
Okay. Yeah,
because there's not enough things in the world or in life that's going to make you angry. Cobra Kai, the first couple episodes, is going to get you every time. It's consistent. Yeah. We like consistency. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm convinced. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We're doing a good job.
We got to watch it. We got to watch it.
Pretentious. Oh, fuck off, Mr. Miracle. You're pretentious, okay? Just for that, you got a 1 second display of your comments, sir. All right, Marie, what did you watch?
I watched the first episode of Andor.
Okay.
Yes.
But watched it with my kids. So it was, and my daughter never sits still and she's always running around and talking. And it's just like, so the focus wasn't, I think I need to rewatch it, but I did like the more adult, gritty, dark feel. Like, it's even like more so than Rogue One, but,
yeah,
I don't know. I like the feel and the vibe of it so far. So I like this more adult Star Wars stuff that they're trying to do. It's like so opposite from the prequels. Thank the Lord. Yes. Or thank the maker, I should say.
Hey, I kind of like the prequels. I'm not going to lie. Because they're awful. Just let me clarify.
You know, Kevin, fuck you. The prequels suck.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. See, that's Kevin got two fucks so far.
That's fine. I don't care. I love watching nothing like a good old train wreck.
Good old fuck. Like,
you know what I mean?
Cantor bore like.
Well, I did say it was adult, like so it. Maybe that's like why. It.
And there's also going to be like no fan service, like by bringing in like cameos from classic characters or even mentioning, because they're keeping it very just localized to exactly what, you know, basically Rogue One was. And everybody's going to die. There's going to be lots of deaths. So I'm excited to see that. But I like Andor. I thought it was I haven't watched the newest episode. I only watched the first three.
Yeah, it's the same. I still got to watch the fourth one, but the second and third one really picked up. The whole three episode run.
Yeah, okay.
They picked up. I like it.
The bad guys are really annoying in Andor. I will say that. I think that what's that company that they are? It's not the Empire. It's something else that they are. Like, what are they? Yeah. I forget their name, but those guys, oh my God, they're like those little fucking pricks that have to do everything by the book. And it's just like, you just want to snuff them in the face because they're so annoying. Like, you know,
and they're always drinking pumpkin spice lattes, aren't they?
Yes.
Fuck those guys.
F those guys. They're all Jared Leto's to me.
Okay.
He hates Jared.
Wow.
Don't even get me started.
Despises them.
What? Wait, no. I want to know what started your hatred for him, though.
You know what? I don't think it ever. I think what started it is just seeing him from the first time. I've never liked Jared Leto. There was always something about him that I just couldn't stand. He's not even in Andor. I don't even know why I brought it up. That's how much I know. I will plug him into everything I can't stand.
He's just sitting there watching our live stream right now. Like, what the fuck, man? Yeah.
Exactly.
What did I do?
He is Mr. Miracle.
Morbin time.
Morbin time.
Right.
No. No. Jordan, is it obvious that I'm not watching Andor at all? Because while you guys are talking about it, I'm just like, boo.
Yeah, that was me during Cobra Kai. I'm like, good points.
That was Marie.
Good points.
Yeah, you're selling me on not watching it. Got it.
Definitely watch Dahmer, though.
Yeah, I do want to see that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on my queue to watch.
Fuck you.
I said it. I knew it. I've known it all along.
Oh, man.
All right, George, what about you? What did you watch? Did you already share it yet?
No, I have not. I have not shared what I watched. I finally got to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I love that.
And I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Good. It was great. Good.
I thought it was fucking amazing. And for some reason, my headphones keep on kicking out, and I do not hear everything you guys say.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, then take them
out. So good times.
Yeah. I want to sit on
Kevin. I'm going to have to go back to my old headphones.
Listen, I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer.
Maybe he is. Maybe Mr. Miracle is.
Hello. Well, he's very bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But anyone who hasn't seen that movie yet, definitely watch.
I haven't seen it yet.
I will say, though, that Everything Everywhere All at Once is, I don't remember laughing so hard in the theater from any other movie. Like, recently, I was laughing so incredibly hard during that movie. That movie was fantastic. I would say the only thing that I maybe didn't like about it was that it felt like it was a little bit too long. It felt like the story wrapped up. I'm like, all right, it's over. And then there was a whole other act. And I was just like, oh, okay. Mm. Well, it's still cool. But it was really fun. Definitely worth the watch. I loved it.
The sausage fingers.
I think it had everything. Random, dude. Like, it was funny. There was good fight choreography. I cried at one point because of how emotional it was near the end.
Yeah.
Like all the relationships between the mother and the daughter, and then the husband and wife situation, and just her like with everyone all together, with like her own father and stuff. It was super layered, very well done. Possibly almost another 10. It was almost another 10, Dan.
Yeah, Return of the King ending.
There you go. Yeah. I loved it too, man. It was awesome. I felt the same way. Went on a little too long. It was like maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes, a little too long. But it was awesome. They did the multiverse better than Doctor Strange did.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what was like so weird is hearing Ke-Hi Kwan talk, and he still sounds like when he was a kid. It's so weird. I feel like you're just watching him. And then you just can't, like, it feels like he's still, like, Data from the Goonies. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, did you see that picture of him, of Data with
Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Oh.
You think he's going to cameo in the new one, dude?
I hope so, man. I want him to get his Brendan Fraser resurgence. Like, give him a resurgence, too.
He is. I mean, because now he's in... What is it? He's in Loki. He's in Loki season 2 now.
Yes. Yep. So I saw that.
Yeah, he's gonna be in a bunch more stuff. Yep. But I hope he is an indie, but I hope it's a total fucking surprise secret. Yeah. So like I don't want to know until I go see it.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. Now I can hear you guys again.
Yes, Marie.
Oh, I just Temple of Doom was one of my favorite childhood movies. Yes. So I'm just like, oh,
loved it. Yeah, I'm the
no
same
time
way.
For love.
And Goonies.
Oh my god, that piece of shit, everything is so fake.
What? What? Oh, Indiana Jones.
to the poison you just drank, Dr. Jones.
I love that, man.
Dude, that had one of the best deaths ever. You remember when he throws the spike of food into the guy? He's like,
oh, yeah. I love the whole Kalima. Suck it in.
They took the stones from awesome. Here.
I also love it how when they were recording at that village, they used real people from that village, right? And that old shaman or whatever, Steven Spielberg had to literally recite the dialogue
because he didn't speak
and the
English.
Guy would repeat it back.
Oh, nice.
Word for word. He just had to sit there and just repeat it back to him. And then that's what they cut and edited to make it seem like he speaks English.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I didn't know until I was adult that's actually a prequel to Raiders.
Same.
And you know the name of the club at the beginning, right?
The Obi-Wan, right?
Club Obi-Wan.
No, Kenobi, something like that.
It's Club Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
It was called Club Obi-Wan. And it's because Harrison Ford, not Harrison Ford, Steven Spielberg really wanted to make a James Bond movie. And so that's why he kind of had like that James Bond opening with like Harrison Ford in the tuxedo and everything. So he was
even
like
put
really
him in the same
campaigning.
Tuxedo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yes, all right. The resurgence. All right, George.
That's nice.
Moving on.
That's nice.
Are you drinking blood? Freaking vampire.
Yes. My life source.
Yes. All right, George, you want to move on to our next?
Yeah. So this week we'll have a new game, our new topic, which is what we're going to call Fix It in Post, where we try to take plot holes from films and fix them. Now, this can be from the best films all the way to the worst films. I suspect that I'm going to pick some films that are going to upset some people, possibly in our own circles, and I'm all for it.
So George created a game where he gets to gripe and is forcing us to gripe.
This is the theme.
Am I right?
Yeah. Well, but I come with solutions. I come with some duct tape.
Because everything is fixed in post.
I'm actually really excited to see what everybody came up with, because I know we had to come up with a bunch of these, so I'm excited. I'm stoked because I have my own.
Let's do it.
All right. So I'll kick it off. So we can see what this looks like.
He's a plot hole. I want to be in his hole. Oh, come on, Mr. Miracle. Keep it
together. You can't fit in my hole.
You can't.
Oh. Does that mean it's a big hole or it's a small hole?
Is it gaping or is it?
I don't know. No. Or do you even have a hole?
Is it this or is it that?
Oh. I don't know, but when it appears, for some reason, the Godzilla song pops up.
One from P. Diddy, right?
He doesn't even have an hole. He has an Audi, not an innie.
An Audi. Oh, sure, no.
Ronnie.
I have an everything bagel. That's what I have.
Oh, my mental image is not.
Welcome to the live show, people. Unfiltered.
Off topic. Mm. All right.
All right. What's your hole, George? George, what's your hole, bro? Right, so what is it?
The movie I have chosen to go with first is The Batman.
Okay, cool.
So in The Batman, everyone loves this film. Great film, blah, blah, blah. But yeah,
Not everybody loves it.
You're right, because I don't. And one of the big problems with it, besides the fact that he's not a detective, is that he doesn't get hurt through the whole film. Despite the fact that he gets a bomb in the face, slams into a bridge at like over 100 miles per hour, and then gets shot in the body by high caliber weapons, shotguns, rifles. Dude just keeps on coming like nothing's going on.
Bulletproof vest.
So
sounds like Michael Myers.
Your excuses will mean nothing towards what I've just said. Bulletproof vest does not save you from a bomb.
Yes.
But in any case, here is the solution to this.
He's Batman.
No.
That's it. End of story.
This is second year, right? This is year two Batman. So what happened year one? And my fix, in year one, Batman kills Superman. Kind of like how BVS was, where like Batman saw Superman as a villain, as someone who is going to hurt the world. What if he actually succeeded and he killed him? Now that fight was obviously a big fight. He gets hurt. And everything, he's not going to come out unscathed. So with that, he's kind of recuperate. He has Superman's body. He starts realizing that Superman's body doesn't decay because it's a Kryptonian body. It stays whole over time. So what he does is he takes his body and he ends up fashioning it into his suit. And so the bat suit actually has Superman's body in it. And that's how he's able to withstand all that damage through the whole film.
Yo, he's Jeffrey Dahmer, dude. Not Batman. what the hell?
He doesn't eat Superman. He wears Superman.
Yeah,
exactly. he's more like Buffalo Bill. Exactly. Yeah.
He's got a whole body.
Well, I mean, that's
suit.
Weird. I mean, like, if he killed Superman in his first year, everything else is downhill, dude. Like, no villain can go up against him. I just think he. So in his first year, he killed Superman and he put the Joker. He let the Joker live. I guess, and just put the Joker in jail.
Well, I have a thing with that too. Since he killed Superman, he learns that Superman was actually he wasn't a bad guy, and he was actually sent to protect Earth. So now he has that guilt just weighing on him, and that's why through this whole film, like you know, in the Batman, like his fighting is very sloppy. There's no actual technique to it. You know, he's almost too violent, but at the same time, he doesn't really kill anybody. That's because with every punch, he's fighting within himself of whether killing is worth it. Like, is it the right path towards, you know, serving vengeance and justice because of that guilt that he has for killing Superman, a righteous man.
Whoa. Damn,
in this, no in this twisted imagination thorough. Of yours, how did he kill Superman? I need to know how he killed, figured out how to kill Superman.
Oh, well, you saw BBS, no longer... he had the kryptonite and everything.
Yeah.
He still has, he had kryptonite and he had the suit and everything. And he, imagine if he won that battle. And in BBS, he almost killed Superman.
Yeah.
You know, until Martha was said. So what if Superman never says Martha? So, that's what this all comes down to. If Superman never says Martha, then we get a Batman who kills Superman and then becomes a Superman.
Very interesting.
So the Batman takes place after BVS then, right? Because
no, Batman. This is think of a multiverse. This is like a multiverse. Oh, okay. So this is in a different world where he faced off against Superman. You know, and
this is all because he you say he never gets hurt. What about that scene when he had his shirt off and he was all covered with bruises and scars?
Well, scars are from when he fought Superman.
Okay, just ask.
You have to admit, if you no matter how good his armor is, taking an explosion to the face as close as I am to my microphone, even Batman should get hurt, and he doesn't even have a concussion or broken ribs.
Okay, is it his skin that he's wearing? Is it his bones that he's wearing? Is it his organs? Like,
what is it ground up into the suit?
Of the building, he hit the ground. He like limped away, so he was hurt.
He hit a bridge. He hit a bridge, man. That was Looney Tunes. All right.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Anderson, oh, Superman. Yeah. Okay. So he could probably get Superman, turn him into like a ground beef texture, and spread it underneath his costume.
Or like cremate and like put like ground it into something, like put now it in. I don't. Alfred would know what to do. He'd make some sort of
concoction.
I just like how he just like he. So he regrets killing Superman, though, right? Like,
yeah, just
like,
yeah.
As soon as he sees Superman, we gotta kill this guy. Like, not even. That's just funny to me.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So, who wants to go next? Kevin.
Okay, I'll go next. Mine is from the Friday the 13th franchise. Okay.
Kevin. What? Careful what you say.
Why?
We love Friday the 13th.
Yes, so his favorite, it's his favorite franchise.
We love Friday the 13th.
I fucking love Friday the 13th. I'll fucking fight you about it right now. Okay, so this. Jason Voorhees dies as a child, but is a grown man in the sequels. So how could he grow when he was, you know, dead? And so I came up with this idea that maybe he never really died. Okay, he was like, he was a mama's boy and she left him off at camp and he was engaging in attention seeking behavior, maybe jumped in the water when the counselors weren't paying attention and just swam off and ran away. So everybody thought he drowned. Right. And then he realized that like his mom was like super pissed and he's like, oh, shit, I better just stay hidden because I don't want my mom to kill me. And so he just lived in the woods and grew up there and then saw his mom get murdered. And then he just started doing murdering. That was my solution to how
started doing murdering. Love
it's like painting. Yeah. It's like painting. What are you doing? I'm painting. No, I'm just murdering.
Started doing painting.
Exactly.
Hashtag murdering.
What else is he going to do? He has to avenge his mom because he didn't start murdering until after she died.
Who cooks for him?
He doesn't. He's an adult. He just fucking eats squirrels and dogs and shit.
Yeah,
that's it.
Maybe he eats his victims.
So he's Jeffrey Dahmer. See, here we go.
The theme of the whole episode.
Jesus,
everything, everywhere, all at once. Dahmer, all these different universes. Got it. All right, I get it.
But that's a plot hole. I always thought about that. Always like, it's a plot hole that people just easily forgive and don't care about. You know what I mean? They're just like, he died when he was a kid, but now he's a full-grown man killing people and alive somewhat until part six when he's a zombie now. But, like, that's, I just always found that, like, a fun little plot hole and always came up with my own theories, but that was a new one.
Okay.
Good. I always thought he was just bloated from the water.
Yeah, he was bloated.
Yeah.
Super bloated. Like, vertically also.
So here's my question, and so... Because my thing when I'm watching it was always like, how do we get mongoloid Jason at the end of part one, who's like probably child preteen when he comes out of the water and grabs the girl into the water?
Yeah,
it was a dream.
And then, come on, man. Fuck that dream shit.
It was a dream.
All of Jason's a dream then. All of it's a dream.
Okay.
You're dreaming.
Well, because then if that's not a dream, then that would just explain how he grew. He was just alive the whole time. Right?
Yeah. I mean, well, they say that it was a dream at the end? Because like he like jumped out of the water and then she woke up. And so, you know, I want to blow what? Okay, sure. Blew it all over my face.
I don't even know what that means.
Neither do I.
Don't say it, Mr. Miracle.
I'm down.
I'm going to say that Mr. Miracle has a gut and he wants to put his gut on your face.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Ryan. How do you load on somebody's face? We need to answer Mr. Miracle.
I would assume a burrito is involved.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely involved.
Well, maybe I'm just hungry for a burrito.
Is that what he calls his Audi? His little burrito?
All right, Marie, you got one? You want to share one?
Yeah. Well, you know, because I have to throw Halloween into everything.
Ooh, a Halloween plot hole. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, I consider the whole new Blumhouse trilogy to have is just one major plot hole to me.
Yeah.
So the thing about it is
you're already angry.
I'm like, we're having a stress ball here. I'm trying to I'm one of those people who love the Michael and Laurie brother and sister storyline because it explains Jameson. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Jameson. He doesn't care.
He can't hear you.
Oh yeah, he can. Are you wearing headphones,
Kevin? Me? I'm not. No. This is the microphone right here.
How are you hearing us?
Through the speakers on my computer.
So we can hear you, Daniel.
On your mic? Okay. Sorry.
No, it doesn't. The direction mic. You're only getting from like this angle, so it doesn't pick you guys up.
Oh, you fancy.
I fancy. Mm-hmm. All right, no, you interrupted Marie. All right, Marie, what's up?
I interrupted myself actually with the dog. Okay.
Technically she did.
I did. So, because I think it keeps the story going and it keeps why Michael is even. Okay. So, in Halloween Kills, we won't get into my feelings on Halloween Kills, but basically, I don't remember the cop's name in Halloween Kills. I'm just like trying to wash that movie away from my brain. But he basically tells Laurie, Michael doesn't give a shit about you, Michael doesn't care about you. So, if Michael doesn't care about Laurie, why is she even in the franchise? Why is it the story about her whole family? Why is it the end of the saga of the Laurie and Michael? Like, why is, like, in Halloween Ends, are they gonna like actually make her matter, or is she just like some crazy, like, why does she think that he's coming for her so hard if three of her friends died or whatever and that's it? And but she's so certain. They should just kept, okay, so they should have kept them brother and sister. Because I just would have explained so much, and like I would have been easier for the writers and everything. The writers didn't give a shit about Halloween anyway. I don't care.
None.
Or just have a completely different story without. They just wanted, I think, Jamie Lee Curtis for fan service reasons, whatever. And get just don't have it her in it. Don't have her in it. She's not going to be the sister. If you're going to make three movies with Jamie Lee Curtis in it, then there has to be a passionate reason why Michael's going after her.
Correct.
Well, isn't it because in the first movie, when he returned home, that was the first place he went to when he escaped, mm-hmm. and he was sitting in his house and she was dropping off the keys to the mm-hmm. house. And so she approached the house and he saw her and mm-hmm. she reminded him of his sister. So that's why, because remember in the first movie, they didn't decide that she was his sister yet. And so he was just, so why was he just stalking her the whole first movie is because she reminded him of his sister. At least what I think is that she reminded him of his sister. And so he started stalking her.
I guess I can understand that as a teenage girl, it would remind him of his sister, but now she's like an elderly woman. So why does he still care? Well, he's just be killing teenage girls over and over, not that sticking with the same person over and over.
Correct.
So I just don't like that. I just don't like that.
I take her as like she's the one that got away.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go.
Right.
Kind of like how like Nancy from the Nightmare on Elm Street. Like she got away, and then part three, he's like, "I'm gonna fucking get your ass." Mm-hmm. It's like you're not escaping another one.
But then why are they saying in Halloween Kills that she doesn't matter at all? Like why do they make?
Oh, because they're dumb. They're dumb.
Movie? I think it's because they're just trying to tie back the house back into it for some reason, or give a new revelation. They're trying to have their own revelation, I guess. which is just, and the whole thing why they made her not his sister is just so that they could cancel out all the other sequels, I think. Because remember, this is supposed to be a direct sequel to the first movie.
Yeah,
they would have to. They would have to. Will you stop this shit? Get off.
Samurai Michael Myers. I was just like, where did he learn these skills? And he's elderly now too. Like, how in the world?
And how does he know how to drive a car?
Really, does. You know, dude? I had that too, man.
I'll forgive
you.
Would
put
that
away when he was 10. Like, how does he drive a car all of a sudden?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably can figure it out. I think pretty quick.
Honestly, he was driving like an asshole. I will say that.
He was driving like a 10-year-old. Light pedal go. Just thing. Do this. Like maybe that's all. That's all. Elbows up, and he's driving.
He did drive like
drive. But he was in that hospital since he was a little kid, and that was like far away from Haddonfield. How the fuck did he know how to get to Haddonfield?
See, tons of plot holes in Halloween. Yeah. I love it, but tons. Google Maps.
I don't know how to get anywhere. Yeah. I grew up in Boston. I travel back there, and I forget how to get fucking anywhere now.
Yeah. Yes, I know, Aaron. Aaron hates kills with a passion. Yes, you do. I do too. We know.
I just like how over the top it is. It's ridiculous. I do like Halloween Kills. I actually liked it better than the previous one, the 2018 one.
No words. Fuck you, Kevin.
That's fine. You can fuck me all you want. That sounded weird, but
already each of us have already said fuck you, Kevin, and Mr. Miracle said that as well. So we got a good
I redact mine. Mine wasn't with passion. Mine was too jovial. You'll get a real fuck you later.
Ooh, bitch. Can't wait.
Gloves on and
yes. Whoa!
Clearly
off topic. Whoa!
All right, Dan, you got to reel us back in. What's your movie? What are you fixing?
Star Wars. So,
oh shit!
Star Wars. Much as I love it, it doesn't make sense to me that Obi-Wan Kenobi is like, we have to hide these kids. So he takes Luke Skywalker, puts it back to Vader's old planet, and gives them the last name Skywalker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard the theory about why he did that. I read a thread online.
Because it's too obvious.
If you notice that even, I guess, in A New Hope, he only sends the stormtroopers to Tatooine. And so Vader refuses to step foot on Tatooine. And Obi-Wan would know this. And so that you figure the best place to hide him is a place where Vader would never step foot on again.
Oh.
But if you hear a kid walking around, the stormtrooper is going to hear of a kid named Skywalker with the last name Skywalker. Mm-hmm. What they should have done, what would have made sense, was throw him to the Dagobah system with Yoda and just had him train as a kid when he was young. Boom. Problem solved. No one would ever known. No one would ever look in the jungles.
True. Unless they wanted that out there. Because, you know, Yoda's fucked up, dude. He kind of likes to stoke. He likes to stoke the fires of the Force, because he wants the balance and the imbalance. Like, you know, he's weird like that. He'll be like, yes, that's weird. So like eventually he'll get found again. You know, like
so he's needed later.
And as we've seen in the prequels, he totally hangs out with E.T. And we know E.T. does the kids. It all comes full circle.
Yoda's joining him in this. What is?
Yeah.
It's like an Eyes Wide Shut situation going on.
It totally makes sense.
Between them and a bunch of kids.
When you go to the sequels, freaking Yoda was on his back all like freaking. Strong you are, yes.
Maybe he built it on his face.
With seagulls.
With seagulls, man. Oh my God, loaded on his face, man. That was all I had. All mine are like plot holes, but not like a lot of ways to fix them. It's just, that was a plot hole. That's all I got. So, George,
and you really wanted to fix it too. I gotta give you credit for that. Like, you actually wanted to fix because you love this movie so much that you didn't really want to find an absurd way. You were like, no, this is my baby. I gotta take care of her.
I have one for one of my babies.
This is my love. Which one?
Well, it's not. Is it my turn again? Or
no, it's George's turn.
It's back to George.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna tackle another one. That probably people love a lot, and that's Escape from New York.
Okay.
So in this movie, you know, you got Snake Plissken, uber badass dude visually, until he starts going on his mission where he doesn't do anything that helps the mission. Like, he never actually kicks anyone's ass. He gets captured eventually, gets his ass whooped some more. The only reason the thing succeeds is by all luck. He lucks out at every turn. That at the end they save the president, or they stop the fucking bullshit from happening. Here's my solution of why this goes down this way. Snake Plissken has a brain tumor, and he's actually a part of the Make-A-Wish program. The brain tumor, it affects his speech, his eyesight, and his mental capacity to really understand what's going on in his surroundings. Before it got really bad, though, he had a wish, and that wish was to be like on a covert mission to save the world, because he loved like those old James Bond Mission Impossible shows from back in the day. So that was his thing to do. So the Make-A-Wish gets in contact with the president and the prison state of New York, and they get them to work together to try to help him with this wish and make his dreams come true. So when he goes over there, that's why no one actually really like kicks his ass to the point where he could die. If he was in a prison state of New York, he should have died immediately. Like, one guy is going to beat New York. Okay. It's not going to happen. So that's how he's able to survive all that shit. They're giving them fake guns with rubber bullets. So if they do touch him, it's whatever. He thinks he's his badass. It also explains his eye patch. It's because tumors make it so he's blind in that eye. It's not some badass thing where like, oh, I was on a mission. It's like, no, it's just a tumor. He's just dying.
Tumors.
And that's why
pirate glaucoma in his eye.
This just became so pure, like this pure family movie that you aw.
Yeah, it became sweet. Cute. Thank you, George. Yeah. Just for that, Kurt Russell is now nominated for Best Actor.
It also explains like his shitty tattoo on his stomach.
Man, George hates it, that movie.
I love Kurt Russell. Yes. Kurt Russell's amazing.
I just really want them to make another Snake Plissken movie.
Me too. I see it. I like Snake Plissken. Didn't they say the same thing about, Big Trouble in Little China? Like, doesn't his character also just mess everything up?
But here's the thing. He actually does a lot more good in Big Trouble in Little China than he does in Escape from New York.
Yeah.
In Escape from New York, he doesn't actually do anything to save anybody at all. If anything, he possibly makes things worse at times. But in Big Trouble in Little China, he does kill Lo Pan. He does help his friend get to the location and try to stop these guys. He might not always do the right thing at the right time, but he does some things. He did help at times.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't be putting hate on my fucking boy Jack Burton.
Fair enough. Kevin?
Oh, okay. All right. We'll go to Back to the Future 3. All right. Ooh. What is the main obstacle in Back to the Future 3? Right? Marty goes back to 1885, pokes a hole in the gas tank, leaks out all the gas. Doc's like, oh shit, we're all out of gas. A gas station's not going to be around for another, I don't know, 100 years or something like that. Okay. But at that point in time, there are two time machines there. The one that Doc arrived in, which has gasoline, that's in a cave. So why didn't they just go into siphon the cave, get the gas out of the time machine, put it in the current time machine, boom. Don't have to fuck up a whole train.
Okay. Maybe because the gas sat there and it molded and it's not usable anymore.
No, Doc would have known how to properly store a car. So he would have taken out all the fluids. And he's just not – there's no gas around. You think he's just going to throw gas away? No, he's got that shit fucking stored or somewhere. Dude, I'm just saying.
True.
Could he use the old-time machine that was in the cave?
Good point.
You know, I always felt like, how is this the same Doc that figured out that trash – can be a fuel source.
This is future technology. He went to 2015. Like, he didn't figure out how to make things hover. He just did a hover conversion. So he just used the Mr. Fusion was already a thing that was in the future. Fusion technology that could just take old food and he just put it into the time machine. Fuck you,
like Doc. I feel like Doc could have figured it out. Yeah. To me, it puts a damper on how smart Doc was supposed to be.
Well, it, you know what puts a damn, like, he keeps contradicting himself too, because he's just like, I invented a time machine. I want to go see time. And then he does one time thing. He's like, you know what? We have to destroy the time machine. It's not good. And then, like, he gets in 1885, and he's just like, oh, Marty, you're here. We got to time travel again. And then, boom, like, Marty ends up going off and he stays there. He goes, you know what? I think I need to make a time travel train to go give Marty a picture. It's just like he keeps on fucking, like, why did he make
another sit here and watch Kevin do both characters?
Just do that.
Telling me about the time machine. Is that a train? We need gas, Doc.
Holy shit. That's amazing. Yes. Thank you.
That was my Back to the Future 3 plot hole.
Do Teen Wolf next. Do a Teen Wolf line as Michael J. Fox.
You know, I think I want to quit the basketball team.
Michael J. Fox.
I got a $12 haircut. I don't need this, Dad.
$12 haircut.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Nice. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Okay, Marie.
All right, Marie, what do you got for us?
Okay. Well, I wrote about A Quiet Place. I said the whole movie is a plot hole.
That's what you said about the last one.
I will. Yeah. You know what? That I think I was talking to you and I were like, oh, we could think of so many movies. I'm like, oh, there's a huge plot hole there, but I couldn't think of it at this time. A Quiet Place was definitely one of them.
Yep. Well, the first note I have is farts, which we've talked about before, Daniel.
Very. Yes.
And also having a baby, like, there's no way anyone would survive. They wouldn't survive if they had a baby. And I'm like, selfish. Having a baby, selfish. You're not getting pregnant in this scenario. Babies come out crying. There's no way. Yeah. There's absolutely no way.
Sneezing, like, you'd be sneezing, burping, hiccuping. You can't stop that stuff.
Just like a stomach growling loudly. Like, I mean, I think it would happen a lot in that situation. But They also go to that waterfall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Why didn't they stay there?
Why didn't they move there? Why didn't they live near the waterfall so they can, like, have a baby and be a little more silenced by the waterfall? Like, why?
Yeah, why not just live there? Also, I find it hard to believe that, like, these aliens could come down and destroy everything. And this girl figures out what their weakness is with, like, her hearing aid, right?
Yeah.
How can nobody else on the planet figure that out? They're sensitive to sound. How isn't all the top people in the government figuring out radio frequency
and how to kill them? Scientists, like, at all.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't buy that. I don't buy that.
Yeah, no. So to fix it, I thought, just don't make this movie.
Take that, oh, Jim. No.
I love him, Jim. Take that, Jim.
Or
have the monsters, monsters or aliens, whatever, only hear certain frequencies or something, or they can't hear certain frequencies, like something to do with the, if they want to do a hearing route, whatever, make it like where it's only like they can hear like certain things and not certain things. They have to talk a certain way or like not, you know what I mean. Something like that.
Or just put speakers all throughout the world and just have music blaring the whole time so the aliens can't figure out, you know?
Yeah. There's ways to fix this. There's ways to do it.
By not doing it, according to Marie.
It was an okay Emily movie. Blunt
didn't need to see it.
No, it was okay. It's just, I was just the whole time, I'm like, this.
I agree with you the whole thing. The whole time, I thought it was cool, but they had so many plot holes and made me ask more questions about how could they take over the whole planet.
Yeah,
I didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
I will say I love this movie very much, and now you have me at a place where I am thinking, if I'm going to question the pregnancy, how quiet was their sex?
How quiet was the childbirth? Yeah.
Because, well, childbirth's always gonna be loud, but to have sex,
it's
like
the shits, man.
I don't know what quiet sex is. I don't know what that is. What the fuck is quiet sex?
George is a moaner.
I'm just saying, from the sound effects that you're making alone, I'm sorry.
Kind of buried in there, you just kind of like wiggle it a little bit.
You just wiggle it a little.
They're just docking. They're just docking it in and just laying there. They're doing it Mormon style, just letting it bathe in there.
You have to use your imagination. You got to pretend that you're moving, and you just leave it in there for a little bit.
I'm Spanish, dude.
Extremely pleasurable. Spanish, extremely right? pleasurable.
Oh, no, no. If you notice, George, the Latinos were gone. We were dead, sir. We all died by fucking. We all died with sex.
Yeah.
We were gone, sir. Yes. All right. My movie that I did, there was a few. So I'm going to go. Okay. You know what really bothered me in the movie Predator 2?
What?
In Predator 1, we established that when he wears the helmet, that's what gives him the heat vision. Mm-hmm. In Predator 2, he takes off the helmet. And he still sees heat vision. It's not his normal vision that they showed us in part one. Because in part one, it's just like red blurs and you don't really see it. The reason why they wear the helmets is because they have the heat vision that they use. In part two.
Is that has that off. Been established that that is only when they have their helmets on?
They've done it in every movie since, except for part two. And when you see it,
have you ever seen through the Predator's like point of view when he takes?
He does it in point when they take it off. You see the point of view and it looks different. So part two, they discredited that. I think it's part one that they do that on. Okay. They set it up and they establish the rules in part one. So in part two, they took it off and he saw the same heat vision. Mm-hmm. I know there's different predators, but their eyesights aren't different.
Well, that was just an awful movie anyway. That's a movie just I'm getting too old for this shit. Yeah. Like I watched that recently with Pete because I don't think I ever saw Predator 2. I've seen all the Predator movies except for part 2 for some reason.
Wow.
And I watched that with Pete and it was awful. It was very difficult to get through.
George's scream. You'd be like a banshee scream.
I imagine he does an R2-D2 scream he's during sex.
Or Yoda the woo.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Yes. Okay. All right.
Screen.
All right. George, what you got?
All right. Since we don't have much time, I'll make this one quick. I'll save my Lord of the Rings one for some other time.
Yeah, that one also have a long ending. Is that why you can't get
No, it was actually quicker than the rest. But I like this one. This one's fun. So, Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson. Yes. First, I got to give credit to the comedian Black Ron. He brought this up in one of his bits about how, like, in Smooth Criminal, the lyrics are, as he came into the window was a sound of a crescendo. He came into her apartment, left the bloodstains on the carpet. She ran underneath the table, could see she wasn't able. She ran to a bedroom. She was struck down. It was her doom. Annie, are you okay? And he repeats, Annie, are you okay, through the rest of the song. It's the same shit over and over again. Michael Jackson witnessed a murder of someone that he possibly knew because he knew her name. He's like, Annie, you okay? I watched you get killed.
Yeah.
But yet he does nothing to help her. He doesn't help her.
Why?
Oh, you figured it out. You figured it out, Kevin. Michael has a split personality. And so when he sees the murder, he's now regular. Michael's like, oh, no, what happened? She got killed.
And when you know,
but when he killed her, he was in full on yell mode and everything. And so,
the impressions tonight.
He wasn't perfect. Yeah, he wasn't Neverland Michael. He was the other Michael. Got it.
So that's what I figured out. That because watching his thing, I was like, holy shit, that's a good point. Michael Jackson, be fucking watching people getting killed and do shit. It's like because he fucking did it.
When you're in the hood, bro, snitches get stitches. You don't say shit. You see
something, and you're not gonna rat yourself out.
Exactly. You guys keep quiet, man. Keep it quiet. All right.
Kevin? I have a Jurassic Park one.
Ooh.
Okay. Jurassic Park. John Hammond kept on bragging. We spared no expense. Fucking throws money at everything. Except everything. He only hires one cheap fucking IT security guy for the computer.
Yeah.
Why didn't he spare expense? Because that's security for the whole park. Yeah. Right? He spent money on everything except for the guy to keep the cages
of dinosaurs. I'm a T-Rex.
Nobody cares.
Here's my plot thing.
Ned.
Right? I believe that he loved this idea, but he had also studied Ian Malcolm's what was his chaos theory, right? The park wouldn't be able to survive because eventually dinosaurs would get out, there'd be awful accidents. So he sets up this little visit with like the scientists and the shit because he wants them to escape so he can collect the insurance money on the park that he invested in. Right?
Ooh.
That's a lot of money to buy a fucking island.
That's right.
And to risk your grandchildren's lives.
Well, and I had another theory about his grandchildren, right? Why were his grandchildren there? It was very subtle. I don't know if you heard it.
Fucking kill them, I guess.
No, because their parents were getting a divorce.
Yeah.
And so he took them for the weekend there. Mm-hmm. Nothing like having the parents come back together like their kids almost dying.
Holy shit.
Saving their marriage at the same time, getting insurance. Fucking say fuck you to me right now, George. Go ahead. I dare you.
Say it, George.
Fuck you, bitch!
Oh, you're doing another word. I like
passionate.
There we go. That was my
drop the passion with that one.
Mm-hmm. You did, man. You would have died on Quiet Place, George.
You know,
immediately.
Killed. Immediately.
No, I'm smart. I would have found a bunker and fucked in the bunker. They couldn't get through all metal.
Why would I risk my grandchildren by? Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah. Exactly. Perfect alibi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Marie.
Okay, mine's about the Paranormal Activity franchise, mm-hmm. which is dear to my heart. It was some of my most favorite comfort horror movies. So in Paranormal Activity 3, I don't know if you guys have seen all of them, but in Paranormal Activity 3, it's like the girl Katie and her sister as children, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. their mom ends up dying. Sorry, this is a spoiler if no one's seen it. But their
the best
mom,
one of the three.
I've seen it. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
It's good. So their mom ends up dying. But in Paranormal Activity 1, Katie's boyfriend, Micah, jokes. There's a big joke about something like inviting evil into the house or something. And then Micah says, oh, well, Katie's mom shouldn't come over anymore then. Okay. And then in Paranormal Activity 2, Katie says to her sister, well, I don't want us to end up like mom, which to me, it sounds like mom's like going crazy or whatever. But in number three, she's dead. She dies when they're kids. So that doesn't make sense at all. But I thought, because you kind of see their mom die.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought at the end of that movie, they should have had the mom like get up looking kind of possessed, like the daughter and also like the grandma, because they're like a witch family. And that was like, instead of her dying, that was like her getting kind of possessed. So this whole time, the mom is alive, but kind of like possessed a little bit. And that's why like, don't end up like mom. And oh, your mom can't come over because she's psycho. And this leaves it open for another movie to be made. If you see that the mom is alive still. So that would have been good instead of just like, well, I guess the mom's dead, but that doesn't really make sense because in these movies, she's alive apparently.
Yeah. Unless she's a ghost.
Unless she's just a very
she's
like
possessing and just trying to,
you know what? I wouldn't doubt it. Some moms are demons, that's for sure. Some moms are legit cloven hoof demons. Yeah,
I know what I'm watching tonight.
Paranormal Activity.
Well, part three because I haven't seen that one.
Oh shit! Sorry.
No, I don't care. I don't care.
Okay.
It won't ruin anything. You're still gonna love it.
I'm an idiot. I already forgot. Good. I just know that I have to watch it.
It's good. It's actually really good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it.
That's fine.
Oh no, Kevin! Somebody dies in a horror movie. What a
fucking thing! People die in those movies. Like,
and
everyone
now you
dies
know.
Mm-hmm. You thought it was just emotional horror. No, it's physically horror. They die.
But oh wait, wait. Have you guys? Sorry, one second. Have you guys all seen Paranormal Activity: The Marked Ones?
Yes.
That one's my favorite one. That was a favorite one.
I liked totally, it. Yeah, that one was my favorite too.
Totally different setting than rich white people's houses. That's what they all are in. It's a different. It's
are
so
they
good.
All? Are they all Latinos. Found footage style?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate found footage.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Fuck you, Kevin.
Yeah, no, the good ones I like.
There it is.
I love Blair Witch. I love the first Paranormal Activity movie. I thought they were great, but it's just like when it's like it just drives me crazy when there's so much of it.
Good. Yes, tell him. Tell him in the mic, Marie. Tell him in
that
the
movie
mic.
Scared the shit out of me when I first
saw it. A big poster right here in the Blair Witch.
That movie's it bored the shit out of me.
I can see that. Yeah.
Nobody asked you, George.
I can see it though.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Suck you,
Daniel. Daniel.
Yes.
All right, you got a plot hole, Dan? I know. Okay. I got at least one more I want to talk about before you guys stop this shit.
It's up to you. We have like one more to do. So if you want to do it, you do it. Mine's like okay. So you do.
Yeah, Dan sucks.
Oh, mine's not a great one, but it's something I was reading today because I was looking for them. I'm like, yeah, why did they do that? That's weird. All right. Yeah. You guys have seen The Rock with Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage, right?
Oh, of course.
I know that.
Okay. I'm a girl, so.
All right. So the whole thing is Sean Connery had escaped Alcatraz, right? And so when he's bringing the SEAL team back in, they have to sneak in basically reverse through his escape route, right? And so, you know, when they have like the furnace that's going and he timed it perfectly to dive under, right? And so he's like, he's waiting for it. He dives under and he misses all the things. And then they're waiting. And then he goes and he opens up the door and lets the guys in. And then, but if you think about it, if he's going in reverse, why did he escape going through the furnace? Why didn't he just walk through the door that he just opened for everybody?
Because we wouldn't have that piece, Kevin. Yeah, it does. I already know that one. Yeah, he just went around the back
door. I was like, oh yeah, like wait, why did he dive underneath and time out all the furnaces to escape if all he had to do was just open up the door and bypass it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stupid.
Michael Bay?
I agree.
Yeah.
Michael Bay. I might as well say my last one because it's very similar to that. So in the movie Saw, when you have the main guy, Carrie, you know, and he's there and he's trying to reach for that phone, that flip cell phone, he can't grab it, so he grabs the saw and saws off his foot to reach for it. All he has to do is use the saw to grab the cell phone and bring it to him. Or take off his shirt, put it on the cell phone and bring it to him. Like you didn't have to chop your foot off. Stupid.
But he did have to chop his foot off.
Maybe just his mental state, he was so effed up that he just thought, made for a good seat.
Lazy writing, but yes.
I know. Use logic, Gabe. It doesn't matter how effed up you are. Come on.
And also, how did Jigsaw just stay passed out in the center of that room the whole time without making a sit? He was pretending to be a dead body the whole time, dude.
Melatonin.
I snore like a motherfucker. You didn't tell me you didn't touch one.
Fart. I know you had a quiet place, fart. And then they blame it on the other guys, blame each other. He did it. All right, George, close us out, man.
All right, man. Well, this wraps us up for another live episode. Thank you for joining us. As always, you can see us here live every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Always see us on Tuesdays on our regular show of Not a Strong Start on YouTube, or listen to us on any podcast listening service that you have. I am George. You can follow me at Nicolopolis.
Me, Daniel. You can follow me at King_Sangre.
I'm Marie. You can follow me at _. Marie reviews everything.
No underscore.
My blood's going straight to my head here, guys.
Glug, glug, glug.
And I'm Kevin. You can follow me at Twin Pines Video on Instagram and Twitter. I don't really use Twitter, but okay.
But okay.
A fun one. Thank you,
Bert.
You're a fun one, Bert.
You're a fun one. Thank you.
All right. Till next time.
Fuck you, Kevin. Last one.